Good morning to everyone here this morning. Trusting that you've had a good night's rest and are ready to receive what God has for us this morning. For introduction to the message this morning, I'd like to ask a question. I'm going to pick on this side because I know them the best. Boys, what is it that the presence of a certain individual at Bible school may change your behavior? Now, I asked the assistant principal that. He's too timid to tell us, so you tell me. What is it that makes that happen? Come on, be honest. You want to try to impress that person, okay? What makes you want to try to impress that person? You like them? Well, I hope you do. Good. What is it?
Acceptance.
Fear of God. All right. Go deeper. What is it?
Emotions.
Okay. Let's go turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 2. Maybe this will give you. God has created all people that have the ability to discern right and wrong, has given this gift to them. In Romans chapter 2, reading verse 14 through 16, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." What is it that makes you change your behavior when the principles come around? Your conscience, right? There has been a law established of right and wrong, and your conscience, all of a sudden, as the little boy, the Indian said, when I do something bad, there's a three-cornered thing that turns around in my head. And this morning, that's what we want to talk about, is the conscience. Now, I invite you to turn with me to scriptures because, you know, you only remember 10% of what you hear, okay? So if I preach for 30 minutes, you're only going to remember 3 minutes. So I might as well talk 3 minutes and sit down. But that's the way we're made. But if you follow along, it doubles that. So that's 20%. So that's why I invite you to follow along and think. As we think of the conscience this morning, what is the conscience? Several definitions. Learning to do by the quiet, inner-directed motivator. The conscience is the sense of right and wrong, the feelings or ideas within a person that tell him what is right and warn him what is wrong. God created it when he gave you the ability of self-awareness and rational thinking. As we think of the conscience, a simple little illustration would be when you went to school in first grade, the teacher said, "What is 1 + 1? And you just said 2, right? No, they may have used various ways. They may have used flashcards that when you see that, you have the answer. Well, that's the way the conscience works this morning, young people. The conscience is trained one way or another. It's not just in nimble and just floats through life. I done a little quiz in some older people this morning of how they reflect back on their youth and what their thinking pattern is. And it still influences us today after we're 30 years old. It's a lifelong thing, good or bad. But the conscience, we're talking primarily look at the healthy conscience. The healthy conscience is like a compass. All right? Does a compass travel by itself? Today, most of us don't even have a compass. You have a GPS and you have everything in your vehicle. But years ago, I remember my father, he had to have a compass on the dash that spun around and said northeast. And sometimes he said, "That can't be right." Well, maybe it wasn't right. But the compass tells directions, but it does not travel. The conscience will go through a molding process. Some scientists say the brain scans reveal what experts call a moral network in the human brain. I thought that's an interesting finding, that they actually feel there's something there. Conscience describes two things: what a person believes is right and how a person decides what is right. By informing us of our values and principles, it becomes the standard we use to judge whether or not our actions are ethical. If I would ask this morning, how many of you enjoy a pricking conscience? But did you know a pricking conscience, a guilty conscience, is a gift from God? Now you're thinking, I'm thinking backwards. Well, I do sometimes. But what I'm trying to say is a guilty conscience is there to cleanse us, to help us. It's that conscience. It pricks. It brings. We establish those things within our mind. And that's what Bible school is all about. As you come here to Bible school, and this is not our subject this morning, but you have, may I say, 100 and some consciences here this morning. And probably most husbands and wives don't exactly think exactly alike. But we respect and we blend those consciences together and we have something beautiful. And that goes into church life. But as I think of that here as Bible school, you come from various backgrounds, from your various denominations, various church settings, various practices, but respect each other's conscience. An offended conscience is very hard to heal. It can be done. The environment that a conscience is formed in as a child and youth will greatly influence how it will function throughout life. There is things that may on the cooking side that your mom did that in your mind is the right way to do. Is it right or wrong? No, it's just the way you do it. And it's same for us, brethren. We have ways we do things. And sometimes it's a copy of what dad did, or it's a reaction opposite of what dad did. But we establish a law, a thinking pattern within our minds. And that is, it's like the flashcards of life, that when the question is faced to us, we will make the proper choice. Every conscience forms a standard based on teaching that it receives. And dear young people this morning, be careful what you listen to, be careful what you read. It will influence you for the negative or for the positive. It's that molding process. Your conscience is formed by a personal experience that you've had. Maybe you had an accident or something, and maybe something happened in life, and you're very sensitive. Your conscience is formed listening to God's word being taught. Your conscience is formed by your personal devotions, by Bible reading. Bible school is to alert and strengthen the conscience, not to weaken it, not necessarily to make it blend in with everybody else's, but to strengthen it. And so it's a person. And remember, what you feed grows. We hear that example sometimes of the boy that said there's two dogs. Sometimes it feels like there's two dogs fighting within him. Well, they said, which one wins? And he said, the one I feed. And that's the way it is with the conscience, dear young people, this morning. What you feed will grow. Your conscience takes information you receive and makes application to the situation presently you are facing, like the flashcard example. Information you receive. Where are you getting your information from? Recently, I was thinking about, I'm not that old, but I am on the older upper side of youth anymore. But when I went to Bible school, when my father went to Bible school, when your grandpa and grandma, this book has never changed. There's a lot of good books have been written since then. Unfortunately, some of those books have went by the wayside because of the erroneous views coming through, or maybe because of man falling away. But the Word of God, and let me tell you something, youth, it's very important what you read. Sometimes young people have the idea this is too meaty. How are you going to get strength if all you're going to do is eat whipped cream and occasionally a little bit of tapioca with it? You're not going to be a very strong person. And if all you're going to do is read books and not the book, don't be surprised if you're going to have a weak conscience. Your conscience recalls what you, as an individual, have accepted as right and wrong. The sensitivity of our conscience is influenced by our physical, mental, and emotional makeup. Probably all of us fit in one of those categories. Some people, we wish their conscience wouldn't be quite as sensitive. Other people, we wish sometimes would be a little more sensitive. But a lot of it has to do with our makeup. We'll leave that for now. The first part we want to look at is dealing with the oversensitive conscience. What is the oversensitive conscience? Insecure, maybe afraid, restless, continual feeling I need to apologize. Maybe, perhaps, maybe I said something wrong. Maybe I did this. Maybe I did that. How do we deal with this? Injuries in life can affect a cause for insecurity. That thought actually comes from a medical standpoint. A severe head injury, for an example, and in the healing process, I'm told by medical viewpoint, can make a conscience very sensitive. And if you think of that, where is your conscience? It's protected. It's in there. And so it needs to heal. But the oversensitive conscience, I have a couple points I'd like to share to you. Remember, Satan uses those to question your relationship with God. Okay? That's one of Satan's most powerful tactics this morning, is to get you to question your relationship with God, because he knows if he makes that connection poor, he knows he has a lot more handle on you. Because remember, Satan has been defeated. When Jesus rose from the grave, he's been defeated. But he still comes back with that question, yea, hath God said. He'll come to you with a sensitive conscience and he says, are you sure? But remember, when God grants you forgiveness, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when God cleanses, Satan can't color it up again. When it's under the blood, Satan can't get to it. So claim that as a promise to your youth this morning. If you're struggling with a sensitive conscience, God draws people to you. The Holy Spirit is always faithful. But we also recognize that there's another spirit out there that is trying to destroy men. God's correction is always corrective. It's preserving. It's redeeming. And Satan's methods are always destructive. They're always pushing away. They're always driving men. So make that decision. Maybe sometimes a sensitive, oversensitive conscience needs to rely on an older person's conscience to help them through the healing process. Sometimes ask yourself, where is this question coming from? Is it God speaking to me, or is it Satan trying to? But remember, I think the best remedy I can give you for the oversensitive conscience is draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. The love of God. The love of God. That's a whole different subject. Romans 9 verse 1 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Remember, if you read the Word of God, and he speaks peace to you, then rest your conscience. If he speaks to you, something needs to be corrected, correct it. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. This is the testimony. This is what's coming out. This is the end result of a clear conscience. Our conscience helps us discern what is correct and incorrect. Consistent, persistent, personal discipline help guideline a healthy conscience. Today, that is such a gift. There is so many people today who seem, in the world today, who seem to have no conscience anymore. And that's what we're going to look at just briefly. But 1 John 3, verse 20, 21. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. I've used this the expression already sometimes with people who have an oversensitive conscience. Don't condemn yourself. We have a tendency sometimes, those people, to condemn themselves. Let God do the speaking. Don't condemn yourself. The Holy Spirit is always faithful. John 16, I think it says that he will bring the truth to your remembrance, and you can rest in there. We have a guilty conscience, signs of a guilty conscience. A guilty conscience is the hardest pillow you can sleep on, right? It's full of needles all night long. It just makes you feel miserable. King David, when he sinned, and Nathan the prophet came to him and he said, there was this man that did thus and thus, and David said, that man needs to be slain. You'll find a guilty conscience is very judgmental, very quickly responsive, very edgy, afraid. Maybe the principal is going to come around. Is that a sign of a guilty conscience? That's what makes you correct it real quick. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you behave yourself, you don't have to fear the principal. And they actually don't even fear him anyways. Just respect them. But that's what guilt does to a guilty conscience. We have the woman at the well. We have those people coming, that woman, but when the people brought this woman to Jesus, and they said, he did thus, she did thus, thus, and thus. And Jesus said, which one of you, having committed no sin, start throwing the first stone? And they hung their head and walked away. Why? Because their conscience pricked them. They felt guilty, and they walked away. A guilty conscience many times is critical of other people's relationship with the Lord. A guilty conscience will have lack of interest in spiritual things. A guilty conscience is unsettled. It's unrestful. It wants to have activity all the time. It doesn't enjoy stopping and thinking. A guilty conscience is unhappy. It can be moody. And it can make people very unmotivated. The business of life can cause us to become lack in maintaining our walk with God, resulting in the breakdown of our connections to available power, to be overcomers in the hour of trial. For us on the brethren's side, you know how important electrical connections are. You know, sometimes we work on equipment of our own, doing something, and we have an electrical problem, and we search and we search and we search, and finally we find a connection that was corroded over time. The Christian life is not just a relaxed, sunshiny day. You just sit out on your lawn chair and enjoy the sun. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's effort. It takes a lot of effort. Various people respond in various ways to a guilty conscience. We have Peter. When he denied his Lord, what did he do? He went out and he wept bitterly. But we have another sad illustration. When Judas' conscience pricked him, he went out and he ended his life, and he is in an endless eternity today. Dear youth, if you are having a guilty conscience, there is a remedy. There is a remedy for a guilty conscience. There is forgiveness of sin available. The same forgiveness that Peter sought, the same forgiveness that he obtained, the same blood that washed his sins away, and the same Jesus that he preached for many years would have been the same one that could have cleansed the heart of Judas if he would have sought it. So this morning, if you have a guilty conscience, always remember there is a solution. Then we have another type of conscience I don't like to talk about, but it's a fact. We have an undersensitive conscience. Jeremiah 6, verse 15 said, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them shall be cast down, saith the Lord. We have, the Bible also speaks about in the latter times, there's going to become people that seemingly have no conscience for sin. That's sad. So now we're going to run ahead with this one just a little bit. Sometimes young people ask the question, but how do I know that I have not committed a sin against the Holy Ghost? I got a very easy solution for you. If you are afraid you have committed the sin against the Holy Ghost, you have not committed it. Because when the person commits, as I understand the scriptures, if a person commits a sin against the Holy Ghost, the Spirit will no longer speak to him. So thank God for a guilty conscience. But thank God for the solution to a guilty conscience. Martin Luther said, unless I am convinced by sacred scriptures or by evident reason, I cannot recant, for my conscience is held captive by the word of God, and to act against conscience is neither right nor safe. I'd like to ask you this morning, is your conscience held captive? What's held captive? It means it's held, it's guided, it's under control. The positive note we want to look at this morning is the Spirit-directed conscience. The conscience receives and maintains its vitality by consistent biblical self-discipline. A roaming mind is the devil's workshop, but a Spirit-directed conscience, dear young people, there is safety there. There's a lot of blessing there, and you are in the molding years of life, and take courage. I'm a little older than most of you are here, but I'm still going to school. And I think I'll be going to school until the day I die. We are still in the, but you're in your formative years. A young plant that is taken from the greenhouse, that was never exposed to the environment, when it is exposed to the environment, will probably just lay over. And so, many times, the greenhouse may expose them to some wind, a little bit of breeze, to get that plant to strengthen the lignin content that is in the plant. So that when that plant is planted outside, it may still be sheltered, but eventually the goal is that this plant will be able to sustain itself. And that is why in our congregations that we have church services, we have preaching, we have teaching, we have topics, we have Sunday school, we have Bible school. This is all to help you to develop a healthy conscience in your formative years. There is things that I remember going back in Bible school back in the early 80s that some of my teachers told me. It wasn't necessarily all right or wrong, but those things have made an impression on my life. And that's our goal at Bible school, why we have Bible schools, that it will help mold your life. That when the flashcards of life come up, that you have the answer, not because of philosophy, but because of what the Word of God says. I remember as a young man, now I'm not going to ask if there's anybody dating here today, but I'll just give you a little example. You know, when my wife and I had our first date, we weren't near as relaxed as we are today talking to each other. Makes sense, doesn't it? Why? Because we have spent time together. So when it says, let us draw near with a true heart, it is Satan that wants to make you feel that God is a distant person. God wants to be close to you. And as you have a relationship with Him, as you spend time with Him, as you read His Word, you're going to find a beautiful relationship, and it's going to result in a healthy conscience. And if something comes to your mind, you're going to feel totally at peace. Was it David when he committed sin and he had the options? He said, I would rather fall in the hands of a living God. And dear friends, this morning, when you make a mistake, never be afraid to fall in the hands of God. Because He sent His only Son, that you and I this morning can have a clear conscience. It is the powers of darkness that try to hold that from us. But it is a gift of God that we can have it. Acts 24, verse 16 says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Works both ways, toward God and toward men. Exercise ourselves. How do we exercise ourselves? Sit in the easy chair with a can of pop and prop our feet up, right? That's exercise. It wasn't when I was young. It still isn't. Exercise is something that takes effort. We read the Word of God and we want to say, receive what has for us. Hebrews 13, verse 18 says, pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. A good conscience. 1 Peter 2, verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So, is a clear conscience a sign that you're going to have an easy life? No. It's a sign, it is a, maybe I say, the vitamins that you need when the tests of life come. 1 Peter 3, verse 16 says, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Young people, people will not always understand you. There is people that are going to, the world is not going to understand why you do what you do. But you can maintain a relationship with God through the trials of life, thick and thin. Remember, that is the secret for a clear conscience. 1 Peter 3:17 says, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Remember again, I'd like to emphasize again, the tests that come, God allows them to strengthen us, not to destroy us. And remember, we come back to our personalities. Some were made in various ways. Sometimes, some of us, it takes something pretty strong to get our attention, to help us, remind us that we need to connect with God more. Maybe the very sensitive conscience takes very little, but God knows them. He understands our makeup. He breathed into man the breath of life, and he understands us. Titus 1 verse 5 says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity, not of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." I'm not going to ask you for a hand raise this morning, but I'd like to just personally ask a question. Are you enjoying a clear conscience this morning? If not, I invite you to find the solution in Jesus Christ. Maybe you need somebody else to help you. There is faithful brothers and sisters that can help you. Don't feel that you're odd because you have a sensitive conscience. Don't feel that way. That is the way God made you. And he understands our makeup. And he is there to abundantly pardon. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." There is so many precious promises that you can claim in your journey of life, dear young people. Claim them. Hold dear to them. And you will never be disappointed. Jude, verse 24, is a prayer that is often prayed in the close of a service. It says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless." I so vividly remember an older brother, probably 80-some years old, being excited about that verse because it said, "Present you faultless," as he's come to the close of life. Well, that was his aspect of life. But as I think of young people this morning, we don't know where we're in our phase of life. I think it was Brother Murray said that we have a date, the beginning date. The end date's not there yet. But I like this verse. It says, "To keep you from falling." To keep that conscience clear. May God bless you as you learn to appreciate and enjoy the love of God. And when he pricks your conscience, say, "Thank you, Lord." Don't run away from it. Be a Peter. Don't be a Judas. The choice is ours. How are we going to respond? Shall we stand for a word of prayer? Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for thy goodness to us. We thank you for another day. We thank you for minds that we can think upon you. We thank you for the gift of the conscience. Bless each one of the young people here this morning. You know their situation in life. You know their walk in life. You understand their makeup. You understand the sensitivity levels of their conscience. But may each one of them feel you close to them. May each one draw nigh to you. Bless them as they go to their classes today. Bless Murray and Dwight as they lead out, and each one of the teachers, that we may point men to you, that the work of Jesus Christ may continue on till time will be no more. Keep us in your care, and may we be able and willing to follow you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.